Yeah, the first class, first official shiar in the Harvey Hecker Memorial Program, which is about Mido's character development, which is something that he very much believed in and was very proud of, and the idea of working together and working with people. A big part of the program of the classes are also going to be about relationships. And today, since it's a one-time class for now before the next semester, and the fact that tonight starts the 9 days, I wanted to speak about how to achieve unity in a relationship that you're currently in, whether it could be a marriage, it could be with your wife, it could be with children, it could be with friends, it could be with parents, it could be with future wives. However it is, we're involved in relationships all the time, and one of the goals, if not the goal of a relationship that you're very interested in, is to achieve ultimate unity, to become one. And the story that I like to tell over is recorded in a book, A Tzaddik in Our Time, the biography about Rav Aryeh Levin. And you can take a look over there on page 150. It talks about that once Rav Aryeh Levin's wife had to go to the podiatrist because she had an issue with her foot. And when the doctor asked them why they had come, so Rav Aryeh responded, "My wife's foot is hurting us." That was his response. That her pain was his pain. Her foot is hurting us. That they were able to achieve such an amazing level of unity that they were like one. And obviously we all want that with every relationship that we genuinely are interested in. And the question is, how do we get there? So I'd like to discuss three different steps to get there. We're going to start from the easiest level to the most difficult level. Okay? Level one is expressing one's experiences, his thoughts, ideas, and feelings with the other party. Okay, we'll discuss it in the framework of a marriage because it's easier, but it could be moved and shifted to any other area of relationship as well. Okay? A husband and a wife could easily spend most of their day apart. Right? It could be a person goes to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, he only comes home maybe at 7 o'clock at night. The amount of time that they're physically in each other's presence is less than the amount of time that they're separate. Right? If they would then build their relationship on the time that they're together, right? So they're really living two different lives. It's the time that they're separate, doing whatever they're doing, and the time that they're together, that they're trying to build together. Obviously, that can't exist. So the level number one of sharing is that the husband goes ahead and shares many different aspects of the course of their day. And it can be very basic things. What happened to you today? I met a friend that I haven't met in such a long time. I had a certain success in my business dealings, in my learning, whatever it was. Things that happened over the course of the day that we're able to express. What does that do? That brings my wife, or my parent, or whoever it is, right, into my life. Till now, from 8 o'clock until 7 o'clock at night, we are two separate people. I don't know what you're doing, you don't know what I'm doing. We have to bridge that. Level one of bridging that bond, to cause that bond, is by me expressing what happened over the course of my day. By doing so, I'm pulling the other person into my life, the other person knows what's going on in my life, and they feel part of it. Now the challenge in this level is twofold. And this is something that anyone who wants to work on relationships or on potential relationships could work on right away, even if you're not in the relationship yet. Okay, there are two problems, two difficulties that one finds when trying to work on his expressing of that which happened this day. The first is that many people are completely out of touch with what happens over the course of their day. And to the extent that someone could ask you at the end of the day, so what did you do today? What happened again? Oh yeah, I remember. That's what happened. Right? We're so out of touch with ourselves to what happened. What feelings did we have over the course of the day? What emotions did we have? What successes did we have? What downfalls did we have? What happened to us? There were many seconds over the course of the day, and we can't give a play by play of what happened because we're out of touch. We just like to coast. So the first challenge that a person has is just to be able to know what they did over the course of the day. And it's helpful, a helpful tool to even write down sometimes. Keep a piece of paper in your thing. Okay, now when I get home, I'm going to express to my wife this. Or when I speak to my parents tonight, I'm going to mention this. I'm going to write it down. So whatever happens, when I get to that phone call, when I get to that opportunity to express, it's not, I can't remember what happened, right? So, and when a person starts to do that, that exercise, all of a sudden he becomes more accustomed to it. And then he starts to remember it, he starts to be more in tune with himself, knowing what happened, knowing what he feels, knowing what he likes, knowing what he doesn't like, and a person becomes more in touch with themselves. That's level one. Level two, challenge number two is, and this is a little harder, is even after you know what happened to yourself over the course of the day, to then go ahead and express it to the other person. Right? Many people say, oh yeah, I can tell you exactly what happened today, but it's not cool, it's not me to talk about those things. It's boring. That's not me. That's okay, that's very nice that it's not you. But if it's all about you, and you don't want to create that bond, then don't share. But if you want your wife or your parent or your friend to know, to allow them into your life a little bit, then you have to be able to express those things which maybe are not you to be able to express. I don't like talking about those things. Okay, you don't like talking about it. You're not talking about it for yourself. You're talking about it so the other person can now enter into your life. Okay? Now, the fact is that this is much more difficult for men than for women. I like to bring out this story of my daughters. When they go to school, so in Israel, you know, they go to school from 8:30 till 1 o'clock. It's a very short day. And you come home, and you ask them, so what happened over the day? And you get, you know, 5 hours worth of a report of what happened from each one. And you ask my son, who goes to school from 8 o'clock until 6 o'clock, and double the amount of time, you come home, so how's your day? Good. What did you learn? Mishnah. How was it? Good. He's out of there. You know what I'm saying? Like, what happened, right? It's the way men and women were created. Men have a much more difficulty with expressing themselves, and women do not. But so as we are men over here, right, and we want to let that other person into our lives, we have to first, one, we have to be in touch with our lives, we have to know what's going on over the course of our day, and two, we have to be able to go ahead then and express it, even if it's a little bit difficult. After a while, after you practice it, you'll get good at it. It's easier to express after you go ahead and try it. Okay, so that's the level one of sharing, is expressing your feelings, your emotions, your ups. Yes, downs sometimes also, but you don't want to be too heavy on the downs. Okay, because if your whole relationship is speaking about how this went wrong today, and that went wrong today, and this is what I don't like, and this is what I don't like, so then the whole atmosphere is a negative one, and it's very hard to grow. So you don't have to say everything in the world to the person you're having this relationship to. You try to minimize the downs, try to maximize the ups, and be able to give that over. Okay, so that's level one. Level two, is a little bit harder now, we're moving up in levels, is recognizing that your wife, or your parent, or your friend, or your sibling, is a partner in your success. Okay? The person you're having a relationship with is a partner in your success. And very often when I say this over, the people are looking like, are you nuts? I mean, I'm a doctor. I went to medical school for 12 years. My wife, if she sees a little thing of blood, she faints on the floor. I'm saying she is not a partner in my success of being able to go ahead and treat sick patients. She has no clue. She has nothing to do with it. Right, or I heard someone's from yeshiva. I'm learning in Kol, I'm learning in the yeshiva. My wife has never seen a gemara in her life. My ability to succeed in yeshiva was my chavrusa, was my rabbi, but my wife? Impossible. But this level of making her part of your success is crucial, because again, we're trying to make the bond happen. It's not we're living two separate lives, and it's not just level one that I'm bringing her into my life, letting her know what's going on, but I'm letting her into my life that we're working together even when we're apart. So this is very important. Now, what is the problem? Where is this response triggered from? What's making us respond this way, that we feel like she has no connection? So the answer is that we have a very narrow vision. We're looking at a very small tube of what causes us to succeed. I sometimes give, we don't have time for it now, but sometimes I give an exercise in the class. You have 1 minute, 60 seconds, to write 10 people that helped you succeed today. Today, we only went through half the day already. I'm going to give you a piece of paper. You write 10 people that helped you succeed so far today. Right? Usually, the student gets somewhere between 3 and 4, and then they're finished. Right? They say their rabbi helped them succeed today. They'll say the person that woke them up in the morning helped them succeed today. And they'll say their chavrusa helped them succeed today. And then they're stuck. Some people will mention 3 different rabbis. So this way they got the number up a little bit higher, closer to 10. But they can't write anymore. Okay? So I'm going to mention, for example, another 4. 4 people that help us, but really, the better we get at this, we can write 100. Okay? We just have to learn how to do it. For example, one person might be our parent. Wait, my parent? I haven't spoken to my parents in 3 days. So how did they have a direct role in my success today? So the answer could be many explanations. Either they paid for me to be in yeshiva, so if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here b'chlal. I wouldn't be here today. I would not be here in a case that they're able to help me, right? Or it could just be that we had a conversation 2 days ago where they told me that they're proud of me and they're thinking of me. And that gave me a certain boost of confidence. It gave me a certain feeling, emotional feeling, like, wow, I'm loved. And that allowed me to succeed today. Or it could be the phone call that I'm going to have later tonight that I look forward to be able to speak with them and share with them, that allows me to continue moving over the course of the day because I have that positive relationship. Right? It doesn't have to be that they specifically helped you learn the Gemara today. There are so many other outside influences that help us succeed. Number 2 that I like to say is the chef. The chef. What do you mean the chef? What did he do? If he made a good lunch, right, provided me with food, which allowed me then to feel healthy, maybe to feel strong, that I could go ahead and learn afterwards. So then his cooking allowed me to succeed in the afternoon. It could be the breakfast I was served. The third I always say is your roommate. What did my roommate do? So I had a roommate once that every night he had a heel, a hard heel on his shoe. And he'd walk in at night, and no matter how, he was very respectful, always tried to be super quiet. Every time he'd walk in, you know, he had clunk, 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 the whole entire room woke up every single night. Until he switched his shoes, he bought new shoes, he was very sensitive. He bought new shoes with rubber soles, and we were able to sleep better. So if my roommate would not allow me to sleep at night, if my wife wouldn't let me sleep at night, so then my entire day, I'll be bad mood, I'd be tired, I'd be falling off. I would not be able to learn, I would not be able to study, I would not be able to be successful in business, I would be finished, right? I would not be able to work well, I would not be able to succeed. So the fact that my roommate last night tiptoed into the room and did not wake me up had a major role in my success over the course of today. It could be the person in the morning that greeted me when I walked in. Walked in, greeted me with a big smile, right? Oh, this is going to be a good day. Look, people are happy. When you feel that, you're able to be successful over the course of the day. I don't know who that person is. I don't even know his name. But he just gave me a very nice, warm welcome, put me in a good mood. I was able to be more successful afterwards. Right? So these are people that are more in the perimeters. Right? They're not in my direct sphere of influence. They're a little bit on the outside. But they can have major roles. They could ruin my day in very big ways. So if we become more in touch with who affects us, who influences us, and who does play roles in our ability to succeed, then we're able to go ahead and tell the person, you know, it was because of you that I had a great afternoon. That smile this morning really gave me a boost for the rest of the day. The fact that you had that 5-minute talk with me was amazing for me. And it could be my wife makes me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Now, I mean, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to be able to make so I wouldn't even think I should thank her. Okay, it's not, you know, it's etiquette to go ahead and thank my wife. But it's much more than that. Why? Because let's say I'm in the office. Okay, I'm working in New York City, I'm in the office, I have an hour break from 12 to 1. Now, I could either have to go all the way downstairs to go to some cafeteria, to go to some restaurant to buy food. By the time I get the food, by the time I get back up, I have 15 minutes to eat, I have to get back to work. My whole hour was shot. If I have that peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which took nothing, no effort at all to make, I take the sandwich, I lock my door, I eat, and I have a whole hour to relax. That whole hour to relax, clear my head, gave me the opportunity to be more successful the rest of the day.
So my wife, with that peanut butter and jelly, doesn't have to be steak. It doesn't have to be fancy schmancy stuff. With that simple idea that helped me facilitate the rest of my day, allowed me to be successful. That means she had a part in my success. But we have to be able to recognize that. We have to realize that coming home at night or coming to our room, where if it's clean, if it's nice, if it's in a relaxing atmosphere, if I'm having a good conversation with someone that allowed me to go to sleep and with a clear head and wake up the next day and work, those people had major influence on our lives. So the challenge over here, obviously, is to be able to go ahead and recognize all these different people that are influencing us in our lives, and then to go ahead and be able to express it, right? Chef walked in right after I spoke about him. But right, so if it means that it's the lunch, if it means that the food that came in, so then afterwards to then go ahead and say, not just thank you for the food, it was good, but thank you for the food, it was good, it really helped me grow, really helped me learning the rest of the day. It's to bring that other person in the relationship to be a shutaf, to be a partner with you in your success. So that's level one and level two. Level one, again, is expressing what happened, emotions, ideas, successes over the course of the day. That lets the other person know what happened in your life. They don't feel like they're living two separate worlds. And then two is bringing that person into your life to the extent that she or he, whatever it is feels like they're working with you. They're not your secretary, and they don't know anything about learning a Gemara, and they don't know anything about helping the sick people. But they are helping you emotionally in the home, building you, giving you time, whatever it is, they are helping you grow and be successful. Okay, that's level two. Level three is the most difficult. It's most difficult. And I'll start with a story. The first part of the story is a little bit well known. The second part isn't. The first part of the story is as follows. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the greatest Torah giants of the last generation, at his wife's levaya, his wife's funeral, it's customary at a funeral to ask mechila, to ask for forgiveness from the person that passed away. So Shlomo Zalman got up and he said, "I have nothing to ask mechila from my wife for. We married for who knows 60 years, whatever it was. I have nothing to ask forgiveness for." That was it. Okay. So that's the part of the story that gets sent around, and everyone, oh, Shalom, they had such great Shalom bias, and they never fought, and never disagreed, and never argued, and you had nothing to ask him forgiveness for. Okay, so Shlomo Zalman had a student who he was very close with, and the student learned a lot of his hashkafa, his philosophy, his outlook on marriage from Shlomo Zalman. So a little while after the funeral, the boy got married, and he wanted to go back to, a few months later, tell Shlomo Zalman how he's doing so well. So he went back and he said, Rebbe, you won't believe it. My wife and I, we haven't disagreed on anything. We've married only 6 months, not a single disagreement. So Shlomo Zalman looked at him, he said, did you get divorced? Did your wife die? So the Talmud looked at him like, what do you mean, Rebbe? Like, come on, I'm being like you. You know, we didn't get it. He said, how could you not have a disagreement with your wife? I mean, how could you not have, you're two opposite people, two people that grew up totally different. How could you see eye to eye in every single thing? It has to be that she is scared to tell you certain things, that she disagrees with you. That's horrible. That's horrible. When I said I don't have to ask forgiveness from my wife, that just means that when we disagreed, which we did, we didn't fight about it, I didn't yell about it, and God forbid never hit her, or anything. Nothing, doesn't get mechila for it. You don't have to ask forgiveness for disagreeing with someone, for having two separate opinions. The question is afterwards, how do you deal with those two separate opinions? So that was the lesson. What do you see from here, and this is a very dangerous, especially in a marriage, this comes up, where you could have two people that they very much want to have shalom amongst them. They want to have unity. And because of that, one of the people doesn't feel that they could express themselves to the other person. So they'll opt to not open up and not share so that we don't get into a disagreement or a fight. Now, this brings us to level three of sharing. Level three of sharing is enabling the other party, enabling your wife, or your parent, wherever it is, to be able to share in a genuine way. Even on the topics, even in the areas that I'm completely not interested in, I'm able to get my wife to feel that she could share and that I'm genuinely interested in listening. Even on the topics that I'm really not interested in. Now, I'm not going to talk about now a tool in faking anyone out, because that's not going to work. Everyone's wife will always know that you're faking them out. So that's not going to work. So how is it that I could get my wife to genuinely share something and see that I am actually interested in listening? So yeah, I'd like to give this this mashal before we get to the answer. There's a lady, okay, and she you come home and your wife is so excited to see you and to tell you what happened today. You got to hear what happened. Wait, what happened? I went with baby Maishi to go buy his first pair of shoes. And you're like, okay. You had to be there. He walked, first he put it on, and he walked across the shoe store and fell down. And he cried, so cute. And then finally when he made it all the way to the other end, he was so proud of himself. And you got to see the shoe. It has a little bear on the side. Just perfect. You got to see. And you're sitting there and you're like, all you're thinking about the whole time is how much did those shoes cost? did she have to pay extra money for that bear? Like that's the whole time. And you're being a good boy. You're not speaking. You know, you're not asking your question. But she, after, you know, 15 minutes of the routine, she knows that you're not interested in what's going on. And you know, you're just holding back from asking your question. But okay. So that happens one time, and then the next time she wants to tell you about the drapes that she bought and the colors, and again, you know, all you're caring about is the money, you don't know what's going on, you don't care. And after a while, your wife starts saying, you know, I'm not telling him what happened over the course of my day. He's not interested. He's going to be bored out of his mind. He's going to think I'm nuts. So I'm going to stop. I don't want my husband to think that I'm crazy. So I'm just going to stop sharing. Okay, at that point, you have killed any potential, even if you were very good at level one of sharing and level two of sharing, your potential of achieving a unit is over. Because if one party in the relationship can't share and doesn't feel like you're interested in anything they're interested in, then you've no potential for success. So what do? So there's a very interesting halacha. Okay, there's a very interesting halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. The halacha is that on Shabbos, you're only supposed to speak about kadosh, holy type of things. You're not supposed to speak about the news. You're not supposed to speak about sports. You're supposed to speak about holy type of things. Okay. But the halacha is that if I enjoy speaking about sports, this is what gives me oneg. This is what gives me my excitement. Then it is permitted. It's permitted. Because on Shabbos, the point is that we should have oneg, we should enjoy the day. And this conversation on sports really gives me excitement, gives me oneg. Then I'm allowed to have that conversation. What's the halacha if I have a guest over? I can't stand speaking about sports. I hate it. Okay? But my guest loves it. Am I permitted to have the conversation with him about sports, even though I hate it? So the Mishnah Berurah says, the halacha is you're allowed, but not because it's important to be nice to your guest. Usually that's the answer that we would, the reason we would expect it. He says, Mishnah Berurah's amazing psychological insight, he says that because I'm interested in my guest being happy and having enjoyment, it gives me enjoyment to speak about the topic that he enjoys. Even though I hate sports, since it gives me enjoyment to have a conversation with my guest about sports, that itself gives me enjoyment, and therefore it's mutter for me to speak about it. So the same thing, so what's the idea? The idea is that you don't look at the details of the conversation. You look at the idea of conversation. You look at the experience of having a conversation. What we're speaking about, you know, I have no idea. Doesn't make a difference. We're having an experience, enjoying spending time together, where the other person's able to speak about what they enjoy and they're happy participating. I'm happy participating in this. It doesn't matter what we're speaking about. Okay? There was once a student that his father was he was a Baal Tshuva, and he had grown in his hashkafas and what he likes in life, etc. And his father used to come always to visit, and every time it was a churban. It was like the destruction of the temple. It was horrible. Every time he came, only fighting. Why? Because the father had two passions. Passion number one was horses, and passion number two was restaurants. All he did, wherever he went, to whatever country he'd go on vacation, all he wanted to do was see the new restaurants and eat in all the restaurants and go see the horses. The kid, they didn't mind going to a restaurant once in a while, but he wasn't interested in every single time going to eat and try and talk about the food and was it good this way, was it good that way. And horses also, he had no passion anymore for horses. So every time his father wanted to do this and he didn't want to do it, and they couldn't relate to each other anymore. It was over. So what do you do? So he was given this piece of advice. Go to the horses. Forget what you're actually looking at. Who cares if they're horses or not? Just go to spend time with your father to be in an environment where he's in a good mood and you could be in a good mood because you're with your father. You're talking about the horse. That doesn't make a difference. It makes him happy. No problem. Right? Go to the restaurants not because you yourself want to see what you're getting from the restaurant. You're right. You won't get anything because you don't like it. But the experience of going and spending time with him over there, if you look at it like that, not what I'm getting out of the experience, but the whole idea of the experience, then you'll be happy and you'll enjoy it and create a tremendous bond. Okay? And he did it, and it worked. It was a grand slam. And from then on, his relationship with his father grew. So the idea is that you don't look at the details of the conversation. I'm having a conversation with my wife about the shoes. The details of what we're talking about doesn't make a difference right now. She's excited to share something with me. That specific thing, not necessarily so interested in. But I'm not looking at the details. I'm looking at the fact that I could sit down with her, have a conversation, have an enjoyable conversation. She's in a good mood. I'm in a good mood. We're able to have an experience together. And that, the fact that afterwards we had an experience together, a good experience, makes us grow closer. It could mean going on vacations. If you're going on a vacation because you want to get this out of the vacation, so then you're going for your own interests, your wife's going for her own interests, you're not going to grow together. But if your wife wants to go to Florida and you want to go skiing in Vermont, okay, so you go to Florida. The point of the vacation, if the point of the vacation is to work on your skiing skills, so then go have your wife. If the point is to have an experience together, right, so go wherever she wants. What's the difference where we're going? I don't care where we go. It doesn't matter. It's the idea that we're able to spend the time together. It's able that we're able to have fun together, to enjoy each other's presence. We need the activity just maybe to break up the action. But it's the point is not what we got from the experience, from the details of the experience. It's more the experience as a whole. But that requires, obviously, the challenge of that is to take the I out of the picture. What am I getting right now to this conversation? Right? You could have a conversation with someone, he's talking. What am I getting out of this? He's just repeating himself. What am I getting? What am I thinking through it? What am I getting out of this? Where is this going? What am I gonna be, how am I gonna be bigger because of this conversation? If you think like that, then it's a selfish drive, and that's the whole outlook. And of course you're never gonna have unity. But if you forget about what I will get out of it, that's not your focus. It's just focusing on the fact that we are spending time together. We are working on something. We are enjoying the time together. What you're doing makes absolutely no difference and shouldn't matter. And then the two are able to grow together because they're experiencing things together as one. And your wife, your parent, your friend, your roommate, whoever it is, will feel very happy to speak to you because you're sitting and you're really interested. Why am I really interested? Because I'm so happy to be sitting next to you. I'm so happy to sit in here and talking with you. It's great. And then you genuinely are listening. And the person will genuinely share. And they'll be able to open up. And they'll be able to talk more. And they'll let you into their lives. And now that you're into their lives, you know what's going on in their life. You feel part of their life. And then you're able to grow, not just one-sided, but together. Okay, so again, to review, three levels of sharing. One is that I have to express what happened over the course of my day. The two challenges in that is we have to be in touch with what happened to us over the course of the day. And two, we then have to be able to take those points and be able to express it to the other person. That's level one. Level two is not only am I expressing what happened over the course of the day, but I'm allowing that other person to feel that he or she is part of the success of my day. How is that? Because even the people that we're not directly in touch with are very much affecting us and having a role. when we start to be in touch with them and realizing all the different people that are in touch, that are affecting us, and then we go ahead and we express to them, not just a thank you, but show them how they had a role with our success, you feel like you're working together as a team, as a teammate, right? And level three is that you can get into the other person's life, that the other person feels completely comfortable to express to you anything he or she feels. Anything that happens, they don't have to think about, do you want to hear this? You know, they just want to be able to express it, and you're sitting there to be able to listen. How do you do that if you're not genuinely interested? You don't focus on what I'm getting out of this conversation, or I don't focus on the details of the conversation. I look at the experience of the conversation. Look at the experience of the trip. I look at the experience of what we are doing together, that we are doing something together. The other person will automatically want to share, and then you'll be able to grow together in a more unified way.